and welcome to the program. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 15. Paul said, "See that none render evil for evil." Why did he have to say that to these good living Christians? This was a great church. We're going to look at it. Have your Bible ready. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 15, Paul said, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." We're going to look at why that was necessary. Before we do, here's a good question. Is your all on the altar? Let's consider that as we listen to this message in song.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Thank you. can tell all the love He will send from above. Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Well, I'll read it again here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15. Paul said, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Why was this necessary? Well, it's necessary because when we get saved, God doesn't rework that old nature. What He does is He gives us a new one. So we have the old nature and we have the new nature. And whichever nature we feed, that's the nature that's going to grow. And so to these Christians, it's like, you know, "Let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." We all need to take good notice of that verse. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse number 22 and 23, Paul says that we need to put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Then he says in verse number 16, rejoice evermore. Now, he's been dealing with some facts, but as we said on a previous program, here he's dealing with feelings. Feelings. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And so how do you feel when someone is saying all manner of evil against you? Well, as long as they're saying it falsely, Jesus said, rejoice. Now, what he's doing, he's at the beginning of his ministry, Matthew chapter 5. He's got these men up on the mountain, and he's giving them a lesson on what's coming down the trail here. And they're going to be falsely accused of things. They're going to be persecuted. And what he says you need to do there is rejoice. Now, the opposite of rejoicing is mourning, feeling sorry for ourselves, going on a little pity party. Paul the Apostle found the secret of this, and he said in Philippians 4:11, "I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need." He said, "I have learned, I know how, I am instructed." Now, it all comes down to our thinking. Thinking is the activity of reasoning concerning the circumstances that we're in at the time. I mentioned this quote by Alan Redpath. I found it when I was a teenager, and I have kept it all these years. It's a tremendous quote. He said, "There is nothing, no circumstances, no trouble, no testing that can ever touch me until, first of all, it has gone past God, past Christ, right through to me." If it has come that far, it has come with a purpose which I may not understand at the moment. But if I refuse to become panicky as I lift up my eyes to Him and I accept it as coming from the throne of God for some great purpose of blessing to my heart, no sorrow will ever disturb me, no trial will ever disarm me, no circumstance will cause me to fret, for I will rest in the joy of what my Lord is. Alan Redpath said that years ago. Now, when we're dealing with emotions here, rejoicing is an emotion. An emotion is a state of mind deriving from one's circumstances or relationship with others. Now, these Christians at Thessalonica, they were having some rough circumstances, and they were having some rough relationships with others. Now, the mind is the element of a person that enables us to be aware of the world and the experiences that were around us, and so the mind allows us to think and to feel concerning those situations. Now, when it comes to thinking, the dictionary says thinking is the activity of reasoning concerning the circumstances. And so Jesus said several times, he said it in Matthew 16 and 8, "Why reason ye among yourselves?" The disciples were there reasoning this and reasoning that. They were thinking about this and wondering how they felt about that. Why reason ye among yourselves? Jesus was standing right there. He had all the answers. But they weren't bringing him into the picture. They were reasoning among themselves. Paul learned the secret. Acts chapter 17, verse number 11, he said, Paul, as his manner was, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now, the Scriptures is simply God talking to us. Prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, our next verse here, pray without ceasing, is us talking to God. Now we come to verse 19. It says, quench not the Spirit. Now here's a very interesting portion. I don't know how much we can get into this today because of the time factor, but we'll look at it more in the next program. What is he talking about when he's talking about quenching not the Spirit? First of all, we need to understand that God is a Trinity. He is a Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We read way back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26, it says there, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. When I read that as a young lad, I was saved, I was only 12, I said, who is he talking to? God said, let us. Well, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. God is a Trinity, and so he made us in an image as a Trinity, and that is the Spirit, the soul, and the body. And so we're going to look at this in our next program. What exactly is it referring to here when it says, quench not the Spirit?
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto what he deems best, loving me, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength, within thy holy word. Take us from